If you would, open your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 26. Now, I know I said I had one last thing to share about our time in the hospital. I'm going to get to it, I promise. Just not today. Give me one more rotation. There is something that I would like to talk to you about today, though. And I felt it was a pressing need. So, say a lot like maybe Jude or around that time. In Matthew 26, periodically it's good for us to look and remember just what our Lord and Savior went through for us. And it was in Matthew 26, there you get in 59 through 68, they're bringing the witnesses, and two men came forward and shared what Christ said. This temple will be torn down. I'm able to destroy the temple and raise it up, but they didn't realize he was talking about his own body. And so the high priest tears his robe and says, okay, what else do we need? He's blaspheming. And then we pick up in 67 and we see what the Pharisees and the high priest then do to Christ. Then they spat in his face and they beat him with their fists. So this is closed fists. We know that most likely strapped up, hanging there. Christ wasn't going to defend himself anyway. But closed fists, they're punching him, and others, they slap him and said, prophesy to us, you Christ, or you so-called anointed one, who is the one who hit you? Since you are so great, you say you are the Son of God, tell us. So they're spitting on him, they're punching him, they're slapping him. If you'll turn with me in 27, into verse 26, every Passover, Pilate would release a criminal. Matthew chapter 27, he would release a criminal, a Jewish criminal at this time, back into the Jewish community. And we'll see here in verse 26, then he released Barabbas. They wanted Barabbas instead of Christ freed. Now, the unique thing about that is Barabbas was known as an insurrectionist. He was also known as a murderer and a robber. So, if you want to do some murdering and some robbing, if you stir up a riot, you can usually murder and rob during the riot. It's a good way to hide what you really want to do. Nevertheless, they wanted a murderer and a robber given back into their community rather than Christ Jesus. It says, but after having scourged him, so at this point, from what I understand, the scourging was this leather whip that would have pieces of bone or a metal of some sort, and they would whip your back and your chest and rip his flesh open. They say most people didn't survive this part, as it would go into the skin and pieces of flesh would fly out. I'm not trying to upset everybody, but this is what our Lord and Savior went through for all of us. This is reality. This is what man's sin does. Man's sin played out to the end is very horrific. It's very violent. And quite frankly, given each situation, each one of us could be. So we come into 27. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole Roman cohort. These are trained soldiers, men, big and strong. Verse 28, they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. And after twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head. From what I understand, in this particular area, the crown of the thorns can be anywhere from 3/4 to about 1.5 long. Imagine those twisted up, say maybe once every 1/4 inch, placed on your head, on your skull. And after twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand. And they knelt down before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of Jews. They spit on him some more. Then they take the reed and they beat him on the head while the crown of thorns is on the head. And after they had mocked him, they took the scarlet robe off him, put on his garments, back on him, and led him away to crucify him. On top of all of that, now they're going to crucify him. Periodically, I feel like it's good for us to read through these things and to really understand this is what our Lord and Savior went through for all of mankind, and for those of us who believe. But all of mankind, he willingly did this. Someone of great love, great sacrifice, that would love us this much, If you would, now turn me to Leviticus chapter 10. It's an amazing thought when you see someone that would endure so much for mankind that it is a testimony of his love, a testimony of how much he cared for us. I'm going to have us read Leviticus 10, 1 through 3, and I want us to see the principle here. We know we're in the Old Testament before Christ has come, so there's a principle here that we need to pull out of this particular chapter in this book, that God is holy and he wants his people to be holy, which is what we're talking about in the first service. Chapter 10, verse 1, "Now Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took their respective fire pans, and after putting fire in them, placed incense on it and offered strange fire." Okay, so there was a certain kind of incense they were supposed to do. And they were like, you know what, this is fine, just do it, whatever. It's just incense, right? "Before the Lord, which he had not commanded them." Verse 2, "And fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, 'It is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me, I will be treated as holy, and before all the people, I will be honored.'" So the principle here is that you realize what got these men in trouble is they begin to no longer want to show God honor. And in this day and age where we are, honor is one of the things that I'm seeing dying in our society on a daily basis. We know this in 2 Timothy 3. Children are no longer going to want to honor the parents. And we're seeing honor for authority dying out in our country. I see it all the time. Some of the stories I'm hearing coming out of the school, I never would have spoken that way in front of the teacher. Now it's just in front of the teacher. My point in sharing some of these things is I'd like to talk to you about being punctual to church. And I'd like to talk to you about how we come together when we come into church. It's easy to forget why we're coming. We're coming to show God worth and honor and to worship him and to put him first. I think within the society and the influence that can come in, at times, we can forget why we're coming. So I wanted us to read Matthew 26 and 27 and realize, wow, God, you're so amazing. And then I wanted us to see Leviticus 10. You're a holy God, and I need to remember that. Are you full of love and sacrifice and mercy? Yes. But are you holy and righteous? Yes. I need to treat you that way. And so from time to time, we'll talk about these things. It's not something that I enjoy talking about, other than as a pastor, I have a responsibility. Why are we coming? What's important? Now, let me say this. I'm very thankful and excited that we have this great love and excitement to see one another. We want that. But what we also have to remember is as that, we've purposely picked that first song. It's kind of loud, and it's a call to worship. It's like our anthem. All right, let's bring it in. It's as if Dad is saying, all right, children, come in. I have some things to share with you today from the Word of God. And we all come and get our seats, and we hear what God has to say. And God goes, okay, I'll go spend time with one another. And it's a part of that reverence that we want to have for the Lord. And so first service starts at 9, second service starts at 11. I would encourage you, as you start to see that clock winding down, realize, oh, we got to go. Let's finish this conversation later. We got to go. We also understand there's going to be emergencies, and there's going to be emergencies with children. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about our hearts. Okay, Lord, I want to honor you today. So just by way of reminder, I'd like to share this with us as a church. And so it's all about our hearts, and that's what God's looking at. So may we honor him. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come before you, Lord, you know my heart, our hearts. We're not desiresome to be a legalistic church. That's not it at all. Lord, we're desiresome to be a heart church, a church that says, God, we love you, and we know we fall, and we're frail in so many ways. And as this morning's service was, we're not perfect. And coming to church on time is not about my righteousness. Oh, no. Coming to church on time is about your righteousness. And Lord, we also understand that there's going to be emergencies along the way, mishaps. You're merciful God, and you understand all that. That's not even an issue. So Lord, as we come together as a body, may we remember in our hearts, you gave everything for us. You're so loving, you're so kind, you're so gracious. But Lord, you're so righteous. And we want to make sure that we show you that we'd see you that way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.